Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Doctrine of Truth. I'm your host, one of the hosts tonight, along with, amen, we have two more hosts tonight. We'll be gladly, amen, bringing you the truth tonight, amen, from a grassroots level. And we're praying that that you will call in, and whatever you have on your heart that can be a help to one another. The Bible says, where two or three come together in his name, there you be in the midst. And we thank God for the last host, amen, that did a great job, amen, last week and week before last when I was off, amen. But God is able to do everything with fail, amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you right now, O God, in the name of Jesus, to look upon the callers, O God, and those listeners of this broadcast, wherever they might be. And, oh God, we know you're able and you have the power, amen, to defend, to deliver, to save and set free. And, Jesus, we thank you, amen, for having all power in your hand, amen, because without you, amen, we'd be destroyed. And we're so thankful for your love and kindness that you shed upon all of us. And, Lord, we ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, to bless this program and the listeners. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, 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 amen. We thank you tonight, the day, wherever you're calling from. And the subject is, amen, what are the true missions for Christian work? What are the true missions for Christian work? And if you'd like to call in, amen, you want to, amen, We thank God for each and every one, and we want to continue. If you call in, press 1-855-236-2252 or 347-215-8816. Amen. 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 We are so thankful as well as, amen, our host. We're going to set the foundation a little bit tonight prior to. We already have one of our hosts, and we're always happy to have, amen, one of our great hosts, and, amen, Brother Garrett, amen, and you've always been a great deep revelations and understanding to the broadcast. Jesus said, and the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3 and 8, he said, "For this reason, for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested to destroy the works of the devil." He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And we're talking about mission work because let's assume you have gone someplace and in a theater, a restaurant, or a school, amen, either to visit, and you get there and it's all been vandalized, damaged, and in a whole disarray, and you was wondering what had happened. And someone had said, because of the day, so much violence is going on in the land and all the different properties, someone had said, "Well, you know, guess what happened? Someone come and destroyed everything and tore up everything." And you was the one that said, let's put this back together. That was wrong. And this is the type of program we're kind of talking about tonight, because in the day that Jesus came to this earth and the enemy had destroyed and tore up and had everything in a disarray. Amen. And Jesus came from heaven and he looked and he saw, amen, the damage that the enemy had done. And if we look, amen, in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, and Jesus here was speaking a parable concerning the Son of Man and his judgment in the latter part of the great white throne of judgment. One of the writers was saying in the commentary, amen, how he going to judge people. And how he had seen, amen, problems and situations. And we're going to pick it up at Matthew 25 and 34. It says, "The kingdom, when the king said unto those on his right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom which prepared for the foundation of the world. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you stranger or took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick in prison and came unto you?' Then the king answered and said unto them, 'Assuredly, I say unto you, as much as you did unto the least one of my brethren, you did it unto me.'" Amen. God bless you, Elder Garrett.
Bless you, Brother
Amen.
Bishop.
How you feeling? How you feeling
good.
Today?
How about
how you? Feeling
tonight?
All right. All right. God bless you. Bless you. All right. What do you, your view on this before we have some more, amen, some heavy theologians weigh in on this tonight? Amen. What you think about it so far?
Well, you're kind of looking at Jesus tonight in that scripture. What I thought about this precedes, this is after the disciples came to him and said, "What shall be the signs of that coming?" That's from the 24th chapter. And that first thing he said, "Now don't be deceived." He said, "Many will come in my name saying that I am Christ and will deceive many." So when I looked at that, well, this 25th chapter follows up on that, and it goes on down to point out that when the Savior returns, you see, this thing would be going on. In other words, the mission that he set up, he himself is on a mission. So the mission that he set up for his disciples to do, he said, "Now, when you return, when did we see you? When did we do these things unto you?" So at right back, he says, as you did it unto the least of my brethren, he said, you did it to me. So I'm focusing on the fact that all other affairs should be set up as Jesus' mission. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
And that's where my head went when you open up, because there's so many duplications, but they're not duplications at all. And
okay.
I think Jesus wants to, in everything we do, he wants the Father to get the glory. So,
yes.
So Bishop, I've been kind of questioning things, not to exploit them or not to explain them, but the Spirit of God been lifting up a standard in me, and I've been kind of looking at things. I said, "Now, my God, where is God in this? You know, where is God in that?" So I think you got an excellent topic here, amen. Because it's I think it's an eye opener. People need to know. You need to know who you're giving your money to. Do you feel good giving your money to people? You know. Do you feel like you're blessing the Father when you give your offering and your tithes? So that's where my mind is tonight.
You're still on the line here, and we're going to have some more calling in and, amen, expressing the insight. You know, Jesus taught his disciples. He taught his disciples concerning the we are followers of Christ. We are followers of Christ. And he said, I am the way. I mean, he didn't give them any deviation. He said, I am the way, when he told Thomas, the truth and the life.
Yes.
Amen. And what he did and what he, the way he moved and he talked, he was on a twofold mission when he got here. He came down healing. He came down healing all through the Old Testament.
Yeah.
God was healing his people because the enemy came down, broke sickness, death, destruction. Yeah, he was on a mission himself, destroying all God's people, all human beings.
Mm-hmm.
He don't care about who they are, babies, children, animals. Amen. They just brought destruction. And Jesus came restoring. Number one, he came restoring. He restored life. Isaiah 53 says he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And then he went a little bit further. By his stripes, we're healed. So he came building up things.
Uh-huh.
And when I've been going through this, and it kind of hit me about neglect. If we are taught right, and I have to go back to that. I have to go back to the teachers and those that know to do. James said, those that know to do and don't do is a sin.
Uh-huh.
But you got to be taught by day of sin of omission and sin of commission. Now, we have to look in the area of those that being taught properly about helping the needy and the poor, those that are naked and homeless, and consciously, and when you become a child of God, can you walk by? We can kind of think back early in our walk with Christ and just coming to Christ. I can only speak for myself. I had abundance of love for everybody. I mean, all over. I had abundance for everybody. And my heart just went out. And those that can testify, that are listening, amen, and they exploit you a lot of times. Say, well, you're a Christian now. You should be, you know, I'm in need. You should be able to help me and give me. And if you don't watch yourself, and everybody stick their hand out, and everybody walk up to you and say, you know, you're Christian now. You're Christian now. You will give. You know, a babe in Christ will give because it's in them. It's in them. Now, it should be later on, and we stress this all the time about the place that you fellowship at and the place that you go, be somewhere should be emphasizing, amen, we should be able to help our brother.
That's right.
Our brother in Christ. All right? Go right ahead, Elder Barrett. Go right ahead.
As you were speaking there, I was thinking concerning brother to brother. And see, mm-hmm. it's so many problems now. And the enemy is trying to make it seem like, you know, it's to be not considered. But we are to walk, mm-hmm. like you were saying, Jesus is the way. We ought to walk as though we are in the way with him. And mm-hmm. so the greatest concern is one another. Now,
yes.
I'm thinking on the subject of mission, the church should be the number one mission.
All right.
For the individual. Now, for instance, mm-hmm. your church, since mm-hmm. you're the pastor and an mm-hmm. overseer of that church, that's your mission. Mm-hmm. And see, mm-hmm. and you are to teach, and as you said, the whole issue is love.
Yes.
See, love, yeah. love, and I'm going to say this and I give it back to you. Love is what creates the, we are new creatures. Love is what mm-hmm. creates the strangest creature that has ever walked this earth. You mm-hmm. see, mm-hmm. when you don't want to give or don't have to give, see, mm-hmm. love works. It enables mm-hmm. you. You know when it says that God gives the seed to the sower?
Yes.
You're looking at love supplying your need, you see?
Yes.
So we walk in love, and as we walk in love, what makes us different creatures, it toughens us. You see? Mm-hmm. When the enemy comes in like a flood and he trying to get next to your flesh or your feelings, see, that love mm-hmm. will stand up, and you say, no, sir. You see? That's why Paul said, let the weak say I'm strong. And
yes,
that's because
yes.
of love. So you're absolutely right. We got to be, before the Lord's return, we got to be, I have to be more concerned about others. You see what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have to be a pure love. I can't love the guy down the street less than I love you, Bishop. You
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes down to getting him to Jesus. You see what
yes.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So love
mm-hmm.
is the directive. That's what kind
yes.
was on my mind right there.
When you, and I thought about that because, you know, we have it in one. You can press one on your phone, and you want to weigh in. And we're talking about what's the true mission of Christians, what's the true mission work of Christians. And you can just press one on your phone. We have our operators and technicians be glad to bring you in. Some of you might be on a mission now. Some of you might be, amen, working mission work, just have done mission work and want to share your experience to help us put it together on this program that we all can grow thereby. That's what Ephesians was talking about, the fivefold ministry. They have so many officers in the church that we can have the union. All right, go right ahead. Go right ahead, wherever we call them. Go right ahead. Yes, sir. Hello?
No.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
All right, good afternoon. I hear you talking about love and what the meaning of love and the responsibility of love to our fellow man.
Yes, sir, good to have you, good to have you.
All right, this is Brother Powell.
Yes, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And our mission and our assignment is all about love for our children, being able to train up a child in the way it should go. And I think what we're missing right now is the component of love, because a lot of our kids are not getting the love that they need to be pointed in the right direction, the love that they need to be to know that they have built inside of them the self-will and determination to be successful. A lot of us is missed that component or missed that lesson growing up. And if I missed that lesson growing up, then how can I pass that on to my children?
Right.
I was one of the fortunate ones that was able to obtain that information from my parents and my grandparents, that they instilled in us the self-will and determination to be successful in any and all areas of our life. By just keep working on yourself, building yourself up. I don't care what level are you on, if you're a level one or you're a level two, you can still, know who you are and be able to come up from that particular point.
All right, Brother Powell, he does great work. Those that are listening with youth and amen, can you give us your website? They can reach you. He does a great work. And go right ahead, Brother Powell.
Okay, yes, sir. Our website is Community Learning Center Tutoring.com. Community Learning Center Tutoring.com. Our company is based out of Clearwater, but our Broward chapter is what I'm running here in Broward County. Our program is called I Got Paid to Read Too. That's also at I Got Paid to Read Too at gmail.com if you want to send me an email or find out some more information about our program. Our mission and our assignment is to help children know who they are and what they can become. What I stress to my kids and my boys and girls that's coming through our program, our first bridge that we cross over together is being able to let them know I am a boy growing up to become a young man. I am a girl growing up to become a young woman. And that's the foundation that we have to let our kids know that they have inside of them the self-will and determination to be successful in all areas of their life.
Very good, very good, very good. That's what love does. Love does. And we have another caller on the line. Please get in contact with Brother Powell. He does a great work as mission work with our youth. Sometimes we overlook our young people, amen, and help build that foundation in them. All right, go right ahead, caller.
Yes, Bishop.
Hello?
Yes, Bishop. I wanted to comment on
go
that.
Go right
love.
Ahead.
Yes, sir.
You did a great work. Go right ahead.
The Lord set an example for us when Jesus came and volunteered to come down and be that sacrifice for all mankind. And that was the example that the Lord set forth in front of us that we were to follow behind. He asked Peter several times, would he feed his people? And each time Peter responded, that agape love that the Lord that I'm talking about in the Word is for denying yourself. That's the greatest thing we can do when we deny ourselves and lift up someone else. Throughout life you hear people saying, someone prayed for me. And that's very true, that someone is always praying for you. And when you come to maturity in the body of Christ, you too will begin praying for people without them having knowledge of it. And this is how we lift one another up. And this is that standing in the gap that God wants to see us do. When we deny ourselves and stand in the gap for others, then God will work miracles in our lives.
That's very good. You can stay on the line if you want to. That's Brother Hester.
Yes,
he does a great job in mission work. Amen. And I thought about Jonah when you were speaking there, because God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And, Jonah was in himself. He was selfish. Amen. And he wanted to avoid amen, what God told him. And this, and you know, God works with people. God works with people like Brother Powell, amen. God showed him, and people worked with him. And now he's working with our youth and everybody that God did with God. God loved people. He loved people. And Jonah had to go. He had to go. And he didn't go to, he had to go to the way of the ghetto or whatever you want to call it. Or what, but he made it. He made it, and God kept him alive. And God told Jonah, now all these people, 10,000 people, some commentary said, more children and animals, just because of you was upset, just because, amen, you didn't like what's what. It's just a selfish thing. And you know, selfishness is now, it's a part of this movement that's happening all over the world. Because in the end time, you know, love has grown cold, according to the scripture. The love that we used to have has just grown cold. It's got cold. And the love we used to have, we just don't have it no more. We just don't have it no more. I remember when I went in the Army, my uncle, he was in the Navy. And he said, now, if you go there, you're going to be involved in these wars and things. If you forget about yourself, you come out victorious. And, you know, that's true. That's true. If you forget about yourself, you can help others. You can help others. And not only that, but people help you. People to help you if you forget about yourself. Mm-hmm.
You see throughout the word, Bishop Ware, that the centurion told Jesus that, you know, I mean, he's a man in command of many men with great authority.
Yes.
But he humbled himself and put aside his authority position and made the journey to meet Jesus to ask him to come and heal his servant. And, you know, with all his responsibilities, he denied himself at that point and stood in the gap for his servant. Then we find Elijah, when the brook dried up, he went to the widow woman. And here this woman is, I mean, she's a woman, and him being a man, he told her that she denied herself. We see throughout the word of God way, the God people, great people of God, have just denied themselves at some point and heard someone else. This was the example for us. God is always trying to show us through his word how it's not so much about us. It's when you deny yourself. You know, and whenever you deny yourself and stand in the gap for someone else and pray for them, you'll find that the Lord will take care of whatever problems you have.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Do we have anyone else there? Do we have another caller? You can press one. Or Brother Garrett, you still there?
Insight.
Go right ahead, Brother Garrett.
And brother should have stopped talking. He should have kept on talking because I was feeling it. Paul told the Thessalonians, he says now even God teaches you to love one another. You see?
All right.
Now the people he was speaking to came from worshiping idols.
So
the gospel got hold to them, and the brother's absolutely right. That gospel got hold to them, so they began to love the word of God. You see what I'm saying? And so much that they start denying themselves and going out on the streets themselves.
Yes.
Repeating what Paul taught them. And he was so carried away with him, so that he sent Timothy over to talk with him. So what we're looking at, love is a tough issue. And
yes, sir.
You can't solve shit. You got to have Jesus. You see, just like the brother said, you gotta have Jesus. Your mind gotta be made up to deal with other people. You see what I'm saying? Though you powerful, the power of God is in you. You see, that's why Jesus said to his disciples, he said, y'all going to suffer persecution. He said, but it's not going to be because of you. He said, it's going to be because of me. And where will he be living? He living inside of them. So the brother's absolutely on the mark. And we are driven to walk in that love. God told me one time, he said, Garrett, if you walk in it, your feet will never touch the ground. And it took me a while to get hold to what he was saying. You see, it solves, it, like the brother said, you start serving somebody else, and somebody start taking care of your business. And you be trying to, man, how did you know that? You know what I'm saying? It's God that watches over us. He said he's with us all the time. He never leaves us. He said he wouldn't leave us nor forsake us. So he is absolutely right. Deny yourself. And even Jesus said, remember he said to his disciple, he says, "Now, except you deny yourself and take up your cross." Mm-hmm. Now, he ain't talking about his cross. He said, "You take up your cross and follow me. If you don't do that, you're not worthy of me." So it's a tough thing, Bishop. That's where my mind was right there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The word of God teaches us. Family is the example that the Lord put before us to imitate. And when you have family, when you look at your children, that parent wants to know that when they have siblings, that they are going to look out for one another.
Amen.
Okay.
The same thing in the body of Christ. When God looks down at the earth, he sees all his family. He wants to look out for one another. You look at different regions of the world, and one has abundance of resources here, and another one has different resources over here. But God wants us as a family to work together and share and stand in the gap.
Yes.
So the family is the example that the Lord wants us to follow in every aspect of our life.
Amen.
And that why is you denying yourself? You know, many times parents will get up and go to work or sit there and a parent will put food on the table and let the children eat before they will.
Yes, sir. Yep, and family is very important. Even my mind fell on when you we're going to Presbyterian board when we begin to examine. Amen. Paul was saying where the man governed his own house. Amen. So God threw that family in there. Amen. How we love one another. How we not only that, but your neighbor. That's the royal law. The royal law is you love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So here with that love, you can't beat it because God love. God love.
Mm-hmm.
And this in St. Luke 16, it's neglect when we begin to look at ourselves and see what we got. It can blind you. Now watch this now, the rich man and Lazarus. And all of us know the story. I'm going to read a portion of it, the 16th chapter of St. Luke. And I'm going to read from the Bible, this new Good News Bible. Amen. So therefore, there was a rich man who dressed in the most expensive clothes and lived in very luxuriously every day. There was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who used to be brought to the rich man's door, hoping to eat the bits of food that fell from the rich man's table. Even though the dogs would come and lick his sores, the poor man died and was carried by the angels beside Abraham in the feast of heaven. The rich man died and was buried. And in Hades, where he was in great pain, he looked and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. Now, we're going to stop there because when you start getting into that, you get into a whole lot of different subject matter there. But the point is that the riches had blinded his eyes. Now, what would cost him? It's not cost him anything because he's recycling the food, he's throwing the food out. And the love, I mean, all of us can kind of reflect back, amen, when and the issue is I would like to be this, I like to be that because I may have more money. I'm going to be, amen, I want to be a great star. I want to be, amen, a great scientist and make the last shot in the game or kick the soccer ball. And I like the way Brother Powell always try to support him because there are a lot of young people out there doing A students, B students, And we don't pat them on the back enough, amen, and show them that we love them. And they're going through school, they learn the ABCs, that's good, amen. But if you get so to the point that you're going to close your eyes and you don't got, and that's what the enemy want to do, wrap you up and close your eyes from your brother and sister, amen. Jesus said and James said, those that know and don't do, it's a sin. It's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many ways. You can shoot the gun and all these different things, but if you know to help someone and you're able, it's a sin if you don't.
Yes.
All right? All right. We have any more callers. You can press one. Any more listeners want to share, amen, about your mission, about your work. Maybe you're on a mission. Maybe you have a food pantry now, serving food or giving out clothes and shoes. How does it make you feel when you give out clothes and food to help others? All right? Go right ahead. Go right ahead. All right, one of my co-hosts, go right ahead. One of you all, take over.
Well, one of the things that I see with in the Word of God is that, you know, the world would tell us to follow your heart, and following your heart will always end up with negativism in your life. But instead of following your heart, we need to lead our heart, because in Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible said the heart is more deceitful than all else, and it will always do that which feels right at the moment. So instead of following our heart, we need to lead it.
All right.
That's absolutely true, Brother Bishop. You know that those who are doing mission work, you know, my hat goes off to them, because they always should need prayer. God got it set up like this. It's more than just a good idea to help others. So what God does, it's a God idea. What God does, he gives you assistance and help. And we were talking about love. Those that are helping you should love, you see, your work, your idea. You see what I'm saying? And they should pray for you and uphold you. This is how you're going to get success. Now, I said that because love is the bond of perfection.
All right.
If you want to be successful in helping people, you ain't going to be able to do it by yourself. You see?
Okay.
So what God will do, he'll send you somebody, amen, that will assist you. People that I didn't even know sometimes. I got sick one time, and people I didn't even remember. I'm looking for my church to support me. And you know, you need that good nurturing, right? But people I didn't know was the one that. So it kind of opened my eyes that if God is God, you understand, he gonna always operate like God. Amen.
Yes.
So
amen.
It is true that our families is, like the brother just said, exactly God wants to see. But now here's the thing, like I like to stick something in there, is that the family, God's family, and that's where the toughness come in. That's where the toughness come in, because people out in the world, you can't love them like you love your brother.
All right.
Your brother, you got to make a special effort. I don't care if it sounds impossible. You can always go to the throne for your brother. You see what I'm saying? So what we're looking at here is that we love one another like Jesus told them to love one another. And then what? We can save. We can get other folks saved. That makes sense, don't it? In other words, the family will be extended, you understand, when we care so much about one another. What that Jesus said in St. John, he said, when they see how you love your brother, how you love one another. He said, they, meaning the world, all others will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So how do you glorify God? You come to him and ask him, God, forgive me. I believe you, God. You get what I'm saying? So I just enjoy that brother. Let him talk some more.
I got a revelation there. I'm getting a little happy here on this, and because this is God out there. When you say that, this is a God out there. This is not like us. This is not about our heart, our mind. This is a God idea. In other words, it's ordained and it's in God's will. It's God's will, and Jesus laid the blueprint and the diagram.
Yeah.
How we what should we do for people? Amen. And remember the prophet Isaiah. I mean the prophet Elijah. With him and Jezebel, they had a run in, and he went and hid himself.
They did.
And he said, "Lord, I'm the only prophet." And the Lord said, "Hold on now." I'm paraphrasing. Say, hold on. I got many more out there.
Yes.
So when we helping children, you know, get their education and helping them, giving them a little bread, you might be feeding another Isaiah, a little Jeremiah, you know, a little Esther, you know, a little prophetess. Amen. We don't know. But that's seed we planting and helping them grow up.
Mm-hmm.
This is a God idea. This is a God idea. If we want to, amen, we want to do work and see, I need to do something for God and get a high anointing, you go out there and you'll learn, evaluate them too. You'll learn, evaluate who you giving food to and who you trying to help. You'll be buffeted maybe every now and then, but
this is a
God idea. This is a God idea.
Holy Ghost,
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Go ahead, Bishop.
All right.
When you said this is a God idea, I just heard it jumped in mind, the Holy Ghost.
That's what
I was responding to right there.
Yeah, we this is a God idea, so you might, you know, it's not all about the television and books and things like that. You learn to, you'll write that and do that after you get the full revelation. Of God's work and Jesus' work, you know, it made me feel so good when I start witnessing and handing out food and you know, it just made me feel so good on the inside. It's just like having a good church service, you know, and you get to humming and singing and seeing people. Thank God that you able to come by, and they thank you. Being in the hospital, thank you for praying for me. I appreciate you. And I always tell that testimony when we was little coming up and poor family, and somebody knocked on the door one day and had that, and I'm going way back, I'll tell my age after a while, they had that powdered milk, powdered egg, you know, and they said, "Oh, we from the church." I say, "The church?" "Yeah, we from the church down the street, and we just came by." And it stuck to me. It stuck to me, and I had the wrong impression. I had the wrong concept of what a church was about.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck to me, even up to the day that she was in me helping people. So, you know, we was poor, and things was hard back in the 60s and 50s. But the church came out. We was from the church and we came by. They didn't know me like the old grandma would say, from Adam's Tomcat. They didn't even know me, but they gave us food, and it took us all through the day, all through the week. Amen. That love of God. All right. Anybody else? Press one and want to share a testimony. I love that mission has helped you. Maybe you was in the hospital, or maybe you were homeless, whatever, and we try to keep things not too personal, but we be able to share that we can help one another, encourage one another, amen, because faith in God. We're hoping that this build up faith, because faith keep your hope up. You know, faith is something that things hope for. Amen. And hope, you don't know, your child might be out in the streets or in another country, another city or town, and somebody come along and encourage them. Amen. Pick them up like the prodigal son, and a mission worker, encourage them. Go into the halfway house. And it's a tremendous work that's going on. Many out there don't want to be out there in the street. They don't want to be out there. Things that happen, they never expected to happen. Never in their life to happen. All right. I don't want to talk too much. I don't want to miss out on anybody that's got a testimony or comment.
Bishop, I was in the hospital for 8 days at one time.
All right.
And I was down so low, and I just said, well, I'm up out of here. But the Lord let me go there so he can talk with me. And guess what? The doctors, the devil got in the midst of the doctors. They was upset with me. And I had about 18 of them come in and talk with me and telling me I was going to die. So what happened was, and this is my point, the medication, it wasn't working. Body was just deteriorating. And the, and the nurses that would come in, some of them, they were so rude and they were so mean to me. I was just sick.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost starts speaking for me and using my mouth. I didn't understand. I was just that weak. But then I got to see that he said, he says, I never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So even being that low, the Lord blessed me. A nurse that didn't have my case, one day she came in the room and she said to me, I heard about your situation. I didn't even know who she was. She didn't. I don't know whether she worked at that hospital or no. But she said, I heard about your situation. And she started doing little things. You know how nurses are. And she started watching over me like she was a guard dog. You hear what I'm saying? They're like, just like an angel. Watching over me, everybody come in the room, they had to explain themselves to her. What you coming here for?
All right.
And and all of a sudden, she sat down, and she just started speaking, started talking to me, and just building me back up.
Great.
And you know what? My soul, I couldn't hardly take it. I forgot about the sickness. And I started listening to that love that was being poured out on me. It was just like shooting a needle up in me. So I'm telling you, God is he concerned about his people. You see, there's a lot of fear going around. You're going to die, and you got cancer, you got this and got that. Well, never mind all that. You can't be moved out of God's hands.
Yes, sir.
Am I making any sense?
Yes,
sir.
So that's a testimony there, amen, that I know, amen, that his word is true. He's very accurate. And what he said, you can stand on. Amen.
All right. Amen.
You know,
right,
the Lord ahead, wants, you know, we the Lord wants us to have, doesn't so much look at our emotions or feelings, but he looks at the heart.
Amen.
And the heart moves God. And you know, when we coming along, and when you first when you was in school and you saw a girl, you liked her, you began learning everything you could about her, and you denied yourself, your mind was constantly on her, what she likes, what she don't like, and trying to find out everything you could do to get her to like you. And during that time, You weren't thinking about yourself. Your mind was on her. This is the same way that the Lord wants us to be about one another. Just deny yourself, because God is looking for the pure heart. A lot of times what we don't realize is God's not so concerned what we do in public. It's what do we do when we're behind closed doors, when no one else around.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All
That's
right.
The kind
All right, we have another caller. We're coming close to a closing. Anybody want to say anything, let's press 1. We thank God for the ones that are listening tonight or today, wherever you might be. You can always go back and replay this program on Block Talk Radio. Amen. And share with others and witness to others. Amen. And I thank God for my hosts, both of them. Amen. Are men of faith. Amen. And you know, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. They shall live by faith. And I was approached with a question. He might be listening. He said, you know, Bishop, do you have to plant faith? Do you have to give a seed to get faith? No, the Bible said we just live by faith. I mean, you can't just put a plug in, put some money out there and say, okay, I got faith now. I'm looking for it to come up. No, obviously, the just shall live by faith, but faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And Hebrews say, when we come to God, we must believe that He is,
mm-hmm.
and He wants us to trust Him just for His word.
Mm-hmm.
We trust His promises, trust what He have done for us, and He always going to do. And those little things like that, Paul said, "Amen." Apostle John said, "Brethren." Beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in good health as your soul prosper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's part of the benefits. That's part of the benefits. We got benefits. Amen. While we in Christ, we got benefits. And if we just do the work, God know how to pay us. He can pay us. And
you
I appreciate the caller. Go right ahead.
I just want to mention that Joseph and David showed us the greatest example of love in that. When David, once he gained the throne, he couldn't be at rest and at peace because he had made a covenant promise with his best friend, Jonathan.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
and so he was sitting there on the throne, and that's what gave him unrest. And he couldn't have peace in his heart until he went and honored the covenant he made with Jonathan. Joseph had an opportunity to be very bitter at his brothers once they came to Egypt. But no, instead of doing that, he had so much passion for them that he had to leave the throne room and go around in private so he could just cry. And the joy he had that he was able to help his family.
Yeah.
So love is the greatest thing they
do. Love, mission, you can't have mission without love. And it boiled down tonight that we are in this discussion that mission is a God thing. It's a God idea. It's not a man-made up God idea. My mind fell when I did a street meeting, something called Open Air, and this man came and he was we gave him some food. He sat down there and we talked. Older man. Took him home and gave him a bath. Back in that time, it was back in the late 70s, you can catch a greyhound, and you just tell them, and they'll tell you, they'll take you home if you want to go home. And he was from Iowa. He was a big farmer. I didn't know that. We didn't know that. And we, fed him and talked with him about Jesus, and he had found out he had left home and, broke up his house and everything. But he accepted Christ, and we did so much, show him so much love. Amen. We put him back on the bus, and I got a letter from him, and it brought him back to himself. He brought him back to himself, and when you don't know who you're helping, that's the
right.
Bottom line.
Yeah. That's right.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Right here.
I recently saw something on Facebook there. Someone put it on it. This gentleman, he was homeless, and sitting on the corner of the street. And the guy came up to him and said, "Listen, I have a lottery ticket, and I want to, it's a winning ticket. I'm going to give it to you." And he gave it to him. And they walked in the store together, And here this man homeless. When he turned the ticket in, the man gave him 10 $100 bills. He immediately went to the man and told him he didn't need but three. He wanted to share with him. Take the seven, and he's comfortable with the three. And it shows you even today there are people that are exemplifying the greatest passion and sacrifice. He's been out there for years, and no one never done anything for him. But the moment he got abundance, he took the little of the abundance and gave the greater, wanted to give the greater to the man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful.
His heart was pure.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that when I saw
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. All right. We wind it down. Any more callers? Anyone that's want to press 1 on your phone? You have a testimony you want to share, a scripture? Amen. Mission is a God idea. Mission is a God idea. If you want to know what, am I doing God's will? Am I about God's will? Start helping. Look at the flood. Look at the young people that's having problems in Mexico coming over. Oh, that's pitiful. That's pitiful. And we got to put our arms around them. You know, they're God's people. That's God's people now. Amen. We got to have that open heart surgery on love. Amen. Amen. This is the time. It's the walls and shooting down planes, a lot of violence. But love will conquer every time.
You know,
love
Bishop,
won. Yes, sir.
The primary mission is that you get your sins forgiven. That's why John said, the Baptist, he said, he'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost and that with fire. You see, that will be your remission by Jesus of sin. John said, I come to baptize you in water for the remission of sin.
Yes.
Get rid of the sin. But our primary situation, you said justified by faith.
Yes, sir.
Simply saying when you search it out, you are justified by your acceptance of what Jesus did. So
yes.
Jesus, God sent him, he's the justifier. Makes sense, don't it?
Yeah.
I don't care how good you have been, you're not excused, you understand, because you don't have Jesus.
All right.
You get hold of Jesus, he make it all right. I'm talking about God will smile on you. And that's what about him. We've done so many terrible things, haven't we?
Okay. All right. We're going to have to go here. We're going to have to close in prayer. Amen. Brother Hester, you want to lead us in prayer? We close out.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right.
Father God, we thank you for this assembly on this call this evening.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, for, Father God, that everyone had cleared their mind, put aside every troubling or deal that be in their life. That, Father, we open our heart, that we receive your word, that it would bring nourishment to our spirit tonight. Let us, Father God, take this word that is strengthening us, that our faith grows stronger, that we not be moved by carnal-minded people. But, Father, let the abundance of our heart reach out in love, that we, Father God, will stand together, united in Christ Jesus. That, Father God, that we will lift down and help one another to stand strong on the word. Not thinking of ourselves, but thinking on you, Lord, that give us an opportunity to commune with one another. Father God, I pray as we go forth each day that we will not be carnal-minded or selfish, but let love lead our hearts. Stand strong on the word.
Open our hearts. Fully receive
this word. Father God, I pray as we go forth each day that we may be a light to the world. Let when people see God, that they light up with joy, knowing that, Father God, our hearts are pure, and that we, Father God, are taking no thought to our own selves, but reaching out in our hearts with love and understanding.
Yeah.
Thank you. Father
God.
God
bless you.
For those on this call, that they, Father God, will sacrifice their time and their efforts to bring this message forward. We give you all praise, Father God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Thank you for calling. Amen. Thank you for being helping the host. And that's what we're working for, to have a panel. And I appreciate you all. God bless you. And have a Jesus-filled night. Thank you very much. God bless you. Bye-bye.